Hi, I'm William Tullett from Anglia Ruskin University in Cambridge.
And I'm Hannah McCann from the University of Melbourne in Australia.
And welcome to the Pandemic Sensory Archive, a collection of voices from sensory experts on the fate of the five senses during and after the COVID-19 pandemic.
This project has been sponsored by the British Academy, and we hope that you enjoy the interview.
So, Nick, do you want to introduce yourself and give us a sense of your expertise when it comes to smell?
Yes. So, hi, I'm Nick Gilbert. I am co-founder of a consultancy and small perfumery house called All Fiction with my business partner, Pia Long, who is a perfumer. And I also co-host a podcast called Fume Chat with Thomas Dunkley, who is a fragrance blogger, also known as the Candy Perfume Boy. So that's kind of job wise. And then I suppose I've been in the sort of fragrance industry, starting out in retail, like for 20 years now. So I started out in retail. I moved into writing about fragrance, into training people how to talk about and sell fragrance, marketing, and then into fragrance development. So it's been kind of like a bit of a journey where I've got this nice broad overview of different parts of the industry and how consumers react to things, as well as how things are really done. So I've spent a lot of my time working closely with perfumers and brand owners and suppliers of raw materials and manufacturers of raw materials. I've absorbed a lot of knowledge from all of those people. I wouldn't say I'm an expert in all of their things, but I would absolutely enjoy nothing more than finding out more and more and more about fragrance, fragrant raw materials, all of that kind of stuff. I think it's just super, super fascinating. And I've got a background in psychology as well. So whenever there's kind of like research about theories of smell, the mechanisms of smell, I take a real close interest in that.
So what would you say are the key sort of challenges pre-pandemic, I suppose, to working in the fragrance industry? Kind of what are some of the key difficulties you encounter, you know, or have encountered sort of working in selling fragrance or kind of working more behind the scenes?
So I think the biggest difficulty really for in the fragrance industry is finding common language. I mean, that's, I think, probably about 80% of the work that I struggle with when we kind of meet up with new clients and things, is making sure that we've got a shared language and really understanding what someone means when they say green versus what I mean when I say green or musky or so on. Because there's not really an accepted language, especially sort of consumer facing. There's definitely more of an accepted language and sort of typical technical terms when it comes to actually working with perfumers. But I think the main challenge pre-pandemic was always communicating fragrance to people that are lay people. So active consumers of fragrance products don't really necessarily know all of the technical information. They've not necessarily smelled the things that we're referencing in what we call notes lists. So you'll quite often see a fragrance description has a notes list and it will say something like bergamot, patchouli, iris, blah, blah, blah. And they may have experienced an iris flower in nature, but they've never actually smelled the root as it's processed and then turned into iris butter or whatever else. So it's one of those things that's kind of a bit difficult because the language relies on a shared experience and having experienced the raw materials, and yet the vast majority of people haven't. So I really think that language has always been the difficult thing. Communicating fragrance has always been the toughest bit.
So would you say that for a lot of the time, one of the problems you're having is also that people have only ever experienced the synthetic version of something and kind of not the original, shall we say, raw material that it's based on or supposed to ape or comes from?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly the case with things like vanilla, right? So most people that experience vanilla think of it as vanilla ice cream. And that's more often than not vanillin, ethyl vanillin, than it is actual vanilla pods, vanilla beans, that kind of thing. So they've never then experienced real vanilla absolute or CO2, which are completely, different facets of what vanilla really is. And similarly, I think a lot of people's experience of fragrance, it does rely on them having only interacted really with the synthetic versions that you'll find in like a body wash or something like that. So they'll hear, oh, this is a rose body wash, but it doesn't actually contain any real rose, you know. And even if it did, it wouldn't be necessary even to create the fragrance or whatever. But yeah, I think a difficult thing is access to raw materials and access to like really solid information about those materials, because there's all kinds of nonsense that goes around. And so you have to do a lot of myth busting as well.
Yeah, and I can imagine. I mean, you were saying that, you know, a lot of the training that you've had wasn't necessarily formal training, right? It's kind of skills that you've built up over years working in the industry. And if one of the cheeky challenges here is communicating smell, then the pandemic must have made that even harder. So what have your experiences been of working with smell in the pandemic, in kind of what you're doing day to day?
So in my day to day, a lot of things haven't really changed. So I will still get submissions that come to me, work on them and so on and so forth, like create the feedback, send it back to the perfumer or send it on to the client or whatever else. So for me, it's kind of broadly not changed, but I'm also seeing that some of our client brands that we've worked with have really kind of struggled because their physical retail locations had to close. Or when they've opened up, things are not quite the same because you can't let people just pick things up, smell, and then experience them. So they've had to really like pivot to communicating fragrance entirely online. And if you can imagine, communicating fragrance is tough anyway when you're physically in front of someone giving them the thing to smell. If they've not got it to smell, it's even tougher. So I think that's been a huge, huge challenge and a huge, huge impact on the industry, especially for fragrance products that rely on the fragrance for the main purpose, so like a perfume or a candle. The people that are selling those online really have a tough time because you have to get a really great description that resonates to the actual smell, but also feels kind of like, I don't want to say salesy, but at least romanticizes the image enough in people's heads that they can get a vague idea of what they should experience when they actually get it. Because the last thing you want to do is create a description for a product that doesn't remotely tie up to their actual experience. Because they're just like, what's happening? There's this all of this dissonance that happens in their head.
Yeah, and I can imagine that it's particularly difficult to, you know, return certain fragrance products like candles and things versus, say, you know, returning a t-shirt because it doesn't fit. And also I can imagine that it's probably quite difficult because I guess with perfume, particularly kind of stuff that's bottled, there's been a tendency to be able to send samples through the post. But I guess with things like candles and other fragrance products, that's much more difficult, is it?
Yeah, so I mean, we actually launched the candle brand during the pandemic, so we've kind of experienced it firsthand, the difficulty of getting it into people's hands. But one of the kind of like active things that we decided to do was make a smaller candle so that people didn't feel like they were throwing 50 quid away if they didn't like the fragrance, you know, so like a smaller introductory size that they could get, smell, and if they didn't like it and hadn't burned it and it was still in sellable condition, they can send it back, kind of thing. That's kind of like one of the ways around that, but it is really tough. If you can't get a sample out to somebody beforehand, then that's really difficult. I think a lot of brands have really pivoted to making sure that they've got samples available of almost everything that they make, and if they don't necessarily manufacture those things, then they'll maybe decant them or something else. So I think the kind of sampling behavior has been forced to change, but then there are a lot of small independent and niche brands that have been doing that for a long time anyway, so for them like things haven't changed at all. But for some of the bigger brands who haven't necessarily relied on the internet as much for their sales in the past, they've really had to shift their focus and their way of doing things.
Yeah, that's really interesting that it's kind of been the small brands that have had it slightly easier. I mean, thinking about your launching a candle range, and you know, I wondered, is that because the market for those kinds of kind of home-based fragrances have really expanded in the pandemic, do you think? And do you think there are particular reasons for that?
I mean, we've had a lot more people come to us to set up a candle brand or want us to develop fragrances for candles as well. And I think that is because a lot of consumer behavior has changed. If people are spending more time at home, they want to make it more enjoyable as much as possible, and a candle's a really nice, easy way to do that. For us, we were all already planning on doing the candle brand, but obviously as soon as COVID hit, it kind of put a spanner in the works and slowed things down a little bit, because we had, you know, we weren't able to get samples of packaging and all of that kind of stuff done as easily, because people just weren't at their factories, weren't at their offices. So that kind of was a challenging part of it. And we've certainly seen that more brands are definitely interested in launching home products and candles and things like that. But yeah, consumer behavior has definitely changed, where there is more consumption of these products, these candles, diffusers, room sprays and kind of thing, because you're at home and it's an easy way to change it up and make you feel like you're somebody somewhere else or somebody else.
Yeah, I think that making you feel like you're somebody else or somewhere else is really important. I remember reading a story a couple of months ago about some brands that weren't necessarily perfume or fragrance brands, but they were making candles based around the smells of things like pubs or locker rooms, you know, spaces that people couldn't be in, right? You know, so they're trying to bring the outside into the home as well. And I wondered whether, do you think there's been particular trends in terms of the type of smells that people are wanting to scent their home with? You know, has there been a, you know, has it just kind of included all the kinds of scents that were typical of home fragrance pre-pandemic, or has there been shifts, do you think, in the kinds of tastes as well as the kind of popularity of those kinds of products?
Mm-hmm. So I think people have mostly stuck with the kind of fragrances that they've liked in their home before. But I've also seen like a slight shift in the sales figures that I'm privy to, of people towards things that happen to smell like cleaner, and maybe like a bit more sterile in a way. And I think that might be related to kind of like pandemic fear, not wanting to catch the virus, and so they want the house to smell clean and pure as well. And so I think there might be like some subtle psychology that's happening in that respect, where people are making these decisions, and maybe not consciously at all, where they just want to have a clean fragrance in the house. I mean, I've certainly been doing that as well. I've been burning and using one of our kind of like freshest, cleanest fragrances this whole time, because it feels like the right thing to do. And it's very hard to explain.
That's really interesting. That's a really interesting trend, especially given that, you know, at the start of the pandemic, we were all told that it was all about touch. The virus was being spread through touch. And now we've kind of come to recognize over time that it's being spread by airborne particles. And maybe that's kind of part of the shift there. But that's really interesting. I mean, more generally, do you think that the pandemic has kind of transformed our relationship with smell? You know, from your vantage point, do you see that there's been a kind of big shift in how we treat our noses and use our noses and give pleasure or offense to our noses?
So I think anecdotally, of course, like I'm not talking like I've done some big study or something, but I've definitely seen and experienced more people actually talking about scents in their environment, especially like in the first lockdown that we had last year. There were a lot of people mentioning about like the flowers in bloom and how they could actually finally smell them. They'd never smelled them before, and I do wonder if that's because they were like busy must get somewhere, or if it was actively because there was less pollution around, or if it was like a combination of those factors. So I do think that some people have become really, not necessarily attuned, but kind of like more aware of smells that are in their environment. I think, of course, there's been so much talk about smell loss, anosmia, parosmia, and so on, that I think a lot of people have kind of, well, not a lot of people necessarily, but some people have definitely got a new appreciation for their sense of smell and aren't taking it for granted in the same way that they used to. And especially people who, like on a personal level, a friend of mine lost her sense of smell right at the beginning. We didn't know at the time that that was necessarily a symptom of COVID. She was just like, oh, I can't understand what's happened. My sense of smell's gone, blah, blah, blah. And as it's come back, she's been like so much more grateful to have it because she realized what she missed in that period of time. So I think that it's probably transformed our relationship with our sense of smell a little bit for the better, because, and I hope it's helped people develop more enjoyment out of their sense of smell, because I mean, something that we as perfume enthusiasts and people in the industry often notice is that sometimes when you talk about fragrance really seriously, some people think it's like a completely frivolous, very silly thing to care about. Whereas actually it's like, it's kind of a quite accessible thing for a lot of people to be able to do. As long as you have a sense of smell, you can kind of enjoy a smell. There's no like barrier really to that, you know? So it's not like you have to be super rich to be able to go and smell a jasmine plant that you walk past on the street. You can just go and smell it and enjoy that. So I hope that there'll be some people that now realize that it's less of a frivolous thing. It's maybe more interesting. And that it will kind of like jig people's interest in fragrance. I mean, that's what I've always wanted to do anyway, is kind of like get people more interested in fragrance, make them realize actually it's a really fascinating world and there's a lot of enjoyment to be had through your nose.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think there's an interesting question there, isn't there? We talked at the start about how one of the real difficulties with working with smell and fragrance commercially is being able to communicate with people and in terms of the languages that we use to describe smell. And of course, one of the reasons for that is that people don't really train their noses. They don't use their noses exactly that much. So, you know, I suppose one hope here is that in a post-pandemic world, because people are more sensitive perhaps to the smells around them, because they're more willing to use their nose or more appreciative of it, maybe they will develop those kind of languages of smell and we'll be able to communicate more about smells and people will have broader olfactory vocabularies. I mean, what do you think the kind of impact post-pandemic will be on the way we use our noses and on actually on the fragrance industry as well? Do you think there'll be some long-running impacts that we'll see?
Yeah, I think in the way that people use their noses, I think and hope that it means more people become like attuned to it and that they do learn kind of like an olfactory culture. I think there's some really wonderful things that are happening in terms of like the literature around fragrance at the moment, like especially by Nez or Ney, through Opas Femme and stuff like that. They've created some really amazing books and literature that people can read to kind of get an introduction into their sense of smell and kind of learn how to appreciate it and think about it. So I hope that some of that can kind of pick up and go along. And then in terms of like trends and stuff, I think we're going to see a shift into more kind of green, fresh, clean, crisp smells in terms of like products that people want to use. Because of like, of course, in surface cleaners and fabric conditioners and all that kind of thing, people have shifted to those things anyway because they want their house to smell clean, they want it to smell safe. And I also think that people will come to associate that feeling of cleanliness and safety with something that they want to smell of. They want to give across an impression that they're clean, they're safe, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. I've definitely been washing and I'm using my sanitizer.
Absolutely. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think there's a sense in which people got used to using, you know, particularly antibacterial products early on in the pandemic. And one wonders if that kind of trend towards cleaner fragrances, but also just things with less fragrance, is partly because people came to associate the smells of antibacterial cleaners as they then existed with the pandemic. And so that smell kind of no longer really connotes safety anymore.
Yeah, that's potentially true. Although I think there's kind of like, there are two sides of that. There'll be some people who will definitely associate antibac with an antibacterial smells with like, oh, it's not safe because maybe they got sick even though they were doing that. And then there are other people who might think actually that's what kept me safe. So it's kind of an interesting like potential avenue of like of reasoning and understanding why what might happen in terms of people's taste and preference in terms of those kinds of smells. Yeah,
that's a really interesting question. So
don't have the answer.
No, I don't think any of us have the answer. Be very interesting to see where they go. I mean, in terms of fragrances, in terms of the power of fragrances, in terms of kind of slightly more outsized perfumes that people might use, I kind of wonder whether there's a trend, whether you think there'll be a trend post-pandemic, not just in the type of fragrances we use, but in fragrances that maybe have, you know, a less potent effect on the atmosphere around an individual, because, you know, we've come to associate smell with danger in some ways.
I mean, yeah, quite potentially. I think there's been a weird kind of shift that happens over time anyway. So like in the 80s, it was all about big perfumes. In the 90s, it was all about like very fresh, very, well, not necessarily quiet, but because they were incredibly powerful. But fresh, clean kind of things. And then in the noughties, it kind of shifted a little bit more and was like about them being kind of quiet and understated or really obnoxiously loud. And now it felt like up until the pandemic, we were just getting to that point of kind of like people wanted a fragrance that really made a statement, was really loud, had an effect on the people around them. People could definitely smell it. And now I wonder, I do wonder. But then at the same time, because more people are wearing masks all of the time and stuff like that, maybe you feel like less self-conscious about the fact that you're wearing a loud perfume because you think, well, everyone's wearing a mask, so they won't smell quite as much of it.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens next. I think, you know, one of the wonderful things about smell is that it's so undervalued as a sense. And so there's always more capacity for us to do more with it. And hopefully people will do more with it over time. Well, thank you so much, Nick, for your time. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. And I look forward to hearing more about where the fragrance world goes next post-pandemic.
Yeah, me too. It's been such a pleasure. Thanks, Will.